because we've asked a special speaker to come today, and it's just a reminder to me that it is a small world after all. Because Jeff Koons, who is our speaker today, he now serves as the Director of Development for FAME, which is a Fellowship of Medical Associates, Evangelists. But at one time, he was actually the pastor at my wife Diane's home church in Viroqua, Wisconsin. And so we got to know him there, and then he went to FAME. Jeff and his wife Denise have four children and one daughter-in-law. He's experienced preaching and teaching internationally, and he's here today to help us understand the power of partnership with a local church like Academy Christian, what that can do as we partner with mission organizations and missionaries both here at home and around the world. So I'm going to pray for our offering. We're going to watch a brief video clip from one of our supported missions, and then Jeff will be here to speak. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for this moment and for the mission that you've given the church and allowed us to participate in. Thank you for the mission partnerships we have with people and organizations that are helping to take the gospel around the world so that as many people as possible have an opportunity to be in heaven for eternity. Use our gifts today to that end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, ACC family, I am so honored to be here. If you don't know me, I'm Renee Beebe with Crossfire Ministries. I'm excited to be here today. I'm excited to tell you some stories about things that are happening right here in our community. And at the Missions Fair, you're gonna hear more about things that are happening all over the world. So I invite you to join us after service for to hear some of these stories. But I just wanna share with you, at Crossfire, just the other week, we had a mom come in, a family come in, and she had lost all hope. She was at the point where she didn't feel like she had any life left in her. We were able to surround that mom. We were able to hug on her, love on her, and pray with her. And she left that day in a better place than when she had arrived. And I just want to share with you, those are the types of things that are happening in our community. Those are the types of things that are happening around the world. And you can be involved in that. So come hear the stories. Come see how you can be a part of the mission of just spreading love in our community. I love that ACC is doing these things outside of the community, outside of the walls of the church, because it does matter. That one person does matter.
Nagwa Wu is a 10-year-old boy in the foothills of the Himalayas, and he, like any boy his age who was responsible to be able to gather honey for his family, decided they loved the opportunity to be involved in some fire, and he likes the idea. And so he and his brother went to this beehive that they knew of, and to burn it out, smoke it out, he accidentally used gasoline instead of kerosene, and a big fireball came rolling down and ended up burning him terribly, where parts of his leg was fused together where he could not bend it at all. Well, they put some local things on it that they had in this village in the Himalayan mountain foothills, and it didn't take care of it. So sometime later, his mom heard that a FAME short-term trip team was in a village that she knew where it was. And so she and her son acquired an old crutch that they had gotten a hold of, they found in their village, and they decided to walk to go to this village. So they left the first day, and they began to travel. They walked all day from sunrise to sunset, camped on the trail. They did that the next day, walked all day on the trails through the Himalayan foothills into this portion of Myanmar that they walked for 7 full days. They walked every day, sunrise to sunset. Then they got to the river near Patao, where they got in a motorboat canoe that is about a 30-foot long canoe that you sit in. And he had never been in anything that fast. We heard the story later. As they started the motor, he and his mom both jumped and they took off down this river. They did that all day. At that night, they stopped at a small village where they landed in the upriver. And they got into a truck the next day and rode in that truck. Now, if you've ever gotten into a truck, pickup truck, in a developing community or seen pictures of it. It's you, 75 other people, and 22 chickens. I mean, you know, that's where they were. And they rode that all day and got to the village that she had heard about that our short-term team had been. Well, our short-term team trips are short-term. They had traveled for 9 days. Our teams are usually never anywhere more than a week, and sometimes less than that. So our team was long gone by the time that they had gotten there. But our mission partner that was there was able to communicate with us, and we made arrangements for him to be able to be flown, which he thought the boat was something. He got in a plane, and they flew in then down to Yangon in Myanmar. He had a surgery to totally repair that. And the last time I saw a picture of him, his cast was off and he'd been running around the village with friends like you do when you're 10 years old. One person matters. You know, one person, we need to make a difference for them. And why do we want to care about one person at a time? Because they all need around the world access to the good news. They all need access to the gospel. And so today, when you leave here, maybe on your way in, the tent that's out there, there are partners of Academy that are out there that are providing access to good news through all kinds of different methods. There's all kinds of different things that they do because of you that provide everybody that is out there is providing the access to the gospel by eliminating some roadblock to get there. FAME comes alongside our global partners, and the obstacle that we help to create, eliminate, is the obstacle we eliminate is healthcare. So we partner with global partners on your behalf to be able to have access to healthcare that when that need is met, people will hear the good news. And so because of you, there have been churches planted. There are orphans that are cared for. There are people that are starving that have been fed. There is trafficking that has been stopped. All of the partners that you see here, obstacles are being eliminated, whether it's food or medical like we do. And a lot of our partners that are in the tent are our partners too with you, that we do things together. And we do all these things so that people can have access to good news because one matters. Your missions team wants you to think about why to care for one. And so I was going through the Gospels kind of anew this year. And as I was trying to read through the Gospels, FAME comes alongside global partners and we help eliminate the obstacle of lack of access to health care. And so I just wanted to reread every time healings were talked about in the Gospels. And so I did what I do sometimes. Every few years I seem to do this. I get rid of the Bible I've been using. I pastored for 30-something years, and some of my Bibles are marked up and worn out and underlined. And I'd grab a new one sometimes, and I did that this year, that I'd never written in before, a translation a little different than I had before. And I began to read, and I was going to look for every healing so I would see them fresh. And I saw them all, and I'm going to mention some of those because they apply to what we're talking about today. But around it, something else stood out. There were 9 times that Matthew used the word saw for something that Jesus did. Jesus saw a person or something. And so being as I did, I thought I'd better look and see what does the word saw mean. So I studied the word saw and found out that it means that Jesus saw. Now there is another 2 words that are used. One's called blepo, which means you just kind of glancing that you know, like out of sight of your eye word. But this one is that Jesus saw. You know the times when you see people and you really see them? The times when maybe there's someone holding cardboard or someone that you just see in need, or even a family member, a coworker, a friend, and someone that you know about their need, but you don't really see them. And then there's the times that you make eye contact with that person and you really see their need and think about what their needs are. That's what Jesus did in these 9 times. And they're all surrounded, the ones I want to show you today, around the Sermon on the Mount. Just before the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, 6, 7, and just afterward. And there's these times that just really surprised me of what Jesus had seen. The first one is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "And when he was walking along the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. 'Follow me,' he said, 'and I will make you fish for people.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him." The first thing I noticed that Jesus saw was ready disciples. Goes on, it says, "Going from there, he saw," there's our word I underlined, "two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They are in a boat with Zebedee, their father, preparing their nets, and he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." The first thing that I observed that Jesus saw was ready disciples. The other one that was like it was Matthew records the time when Jesus saw him. Matthew 9, verse 9, it says, "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew, who was at his tax booth, and he said to him, 'Follow me,' and he got up and followed him." Jesus saw disciples who were ready. And he saw disciples who were ready to partner with him. The second thing that Jesus saw was crowds of hurting and sick people. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. I'd read it 1,000 times. I've read it over and over again. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to them, and he began teaching them, saying," he began to teach them. He saw the crowds. Well, it also says he saw some disciples. So I had to look at that a little bit and say, who was he teaching? Was he teaching the disciples or is he teaching the crowds? So you go to the end of Matthew chapter 7 and it says, "And Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching." So the crowds were there. Who were they? I never thought about who was sitting there listening to Jesus. Well, Matthew tells us, the end of chapter 4. Verse 23, it says, "Now Jesus began to go all over Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the good news," trying to get access to good news, "of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. And when the news about him spread throughout Syria, so they brought to him all those who were afflicted, those suffering from various diseases and intense pains, the demon-possessed, the epileptics and the paralytics." And then Matthew just makes this statement, "And he healed them." Large crowds came, followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, beyond the Jordan. And when he saw that crowd, the people who he had healed and the people who had brought those to be healed, he went up a mountain and sat down and began to teach. The crowds that Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount to were people who he had eliminated an obstacle that impacted their ability to hear the good news. He'd healed them. When you're in intense pain, when you're hungry, when your needs of whatever they are, whether they're spiritual or emotional or physical, when our needs get so high that we get to this place, sometimes we just can't hear the good news. Jesus said, let's eliminate those obstacles. That's what we need to do for the one. And that's what that tent out in your parking lot is full of. Is it may be the Bible isn't in their language, and so there's people helping to get them. It may be medical care. It may be getting them food. Maybe planting churches. It may be meeting the needs of orphans. There's all those needs are being met. And when we do that, Jesus says, we're impacting these crowds. But your missions team doesn't want you to be overwhelmed by the crowds. And so what they've said is, we might not be able to help everyone, but everyone can help one. But I want you to know, you have helped crowds of people. Matter of fact, we did a little bit of a survey that we started with all of FAME's partners. This year, FAME on your behalf shipped 133 shipments, whether it's crates that have been built or 40-foot containers, shipping containers, of medical supplies around the world. 133 shipments so far this year to 36 different countries. And over $500,000 worth of equipment that's in this calendar year. And as we've done that, we began to just trying to survey those partners. And do you know that because of you and other churches like you and individuals like you, that over 1 million people are going to be treated in the name of Jesus this year and hear the gospel? 1 million's a big number. We throw them around a lot, don't we? Big numbers. Government loves throwing around really big numbers, and we just don't even know what it means. But if 1 million people came here today to just tell Academy thank you, and they all got to say, "I'm Jeff, thank you for your help," and gave them 5 seconds to say that, that would take, I had to write it down because I can never remember this number, that would take 1,380 hours for them to just say thank you. That's how many people we've impacted. Do you know that 1,380 hours is 65 days nonstop? That's longer than a quarantine. That's 65 days of people just saying thank you. So instead, I just want to tell you thank you. Because your partnership is impacting crowds of people. Matter of fact, it happens in all kinds of ways with equipment supplies and sending grants to people to build things. And on the side that we work with the medical care, that's the way that we end up helping these partners. Let me just tell you one story of impact that you've had this last year. I was on the northwest side of Indianapolis where a business partner friend of mine said, "Hey, there's a counseling ministry I know of that just acquired a new building. And they have some medical equipment I think you guys might be interested in seeing. They don't know what to do with exactly." So that happens a lot. I on a trip like this, I often will end up with boxes of who knows what, and I take it back with me. And so I flew, so don't give me too many things. But these guys said, "Come and look." So I did. I went to this facility on the northwest side of Indianapolis. And when I arrived there, they started walking me through. And I walked through 4 rooms. Looked like this. They're surgical suites that had lights and equipment and everything needed. And I said, "This stuff looks new." And the guy said, "Yeah, it is. There are 8 doctors that went together in partnership and started all this." And he says, "We don't know all those details, don't know anything about how it worked out, but they went bankrupt before they opened. It's never been used. And we don't know what we're going to do with it all." And so I thought, I'll tell you what you can do with it all. I got some ideas, but then he said, "But we're a nonprofit too, and we'd like, my board would like us to get some money for it." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, okay." And here comes this hundreds of thousands of number, because I'm pretty sure that we're talking about $4 million worth of equipment. And as I was walking through it, it's just like, yeah, I know he's going to have a pretty big number. So we got down to the end, and he was talking to me. "Well, my board wants something for it." And I said, "Well, what are you guys thinking?" And he kind of hemmed and hawed. I thought I was talking to an Illinois farmer rolling a corn cob under his face. He just kind of stood there for a long time. And they'd like maybe like $10,000. Well, fame doesn't usually buy equipment and supplies. It's usually equipment that, you do an x-ray on this piece of equipment on Friday, and then they take it out and they put in a brand new one over the weekend. On a Monday, the new one's working, and the one that worked Friday can work for years, and we ship those around the world. And that's how we've sent, all these thousands of dollars of equipment around the world is that way. And so we don't buy anything. And but he said $10,000. I said, I think we'll be talking to you later this week. So we found a partner that was willing to help us do that. And we now have this medical equipment and supplies that we could send places. Well, that was in September last year. In the summer of 2019, our missions resource guy had gotten a request from a hospital in Mozambique. The hospital in Mozambique had acquired property in 2003, and they started to work on this property and do the site work and get everything ready for it. And they started to get the plans together and have the plans drawn up, and they started to dig the foundation and work on it. And so from 2003 till 2019, they had been building this building and trying to get it prepared. And one of the requests that came to us was surgical suite equipment so they could open up a surgical suite. We were able to then immediately respond and ship it that fall. It actually went to San Antonio, and then it was to go to Mozambique. And in March, they had everything ready for the government to inspect their facility and to be able to open. But when the government official was there, here's a government official that represented that portion of Mozambique. Mozambique is the capital city, and then they have a city called Nampula where this was. And he said, we wanted to know, since everything looks in order, if you can acquire the right equipment and supplies, could you become a COVID-19 site? This was March this year. So they contacted us. We had access to some ventilators and oxygen equipment, and we got that to them, and they did open, and they became a COVID-19 site in the city of Nampula. What we didn't know when we sent it was what we found out 3 weeks ago, is they didn't just become a COVID-19 site for a city of 1.2 million people. They became the COVID-19 site. The government hospitals didn't have the equipment supplies. The government hospitals weren't equipped, didn't have the staff, didn't have the people. And God started in 2003 to prepare a place that would open in April of 2020 to be the site that thousands of people could be treated and cared for during a global pandemic. Is God able to care about crowds, but bring it down to help one? See, you might be the connection. Like that one friend of mine that said, hey, there's some equipment in this building that you got to go look at. And God orchestrates things for decades sometimes to get to a moment of caring for one person. So Jesus saw the crowds in Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. Afterward, after the Sermon on the Mount, it says that he saw the crowds. It says that when Jesus saw the large crowd, he gave an order to go across on the boat. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, and when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them. Jesus saw the crowds, but in seeing the crowds, he didn't miss the individual, because that's the next thing that we see. As Jesus saw the one who needed healing. Jesus saw the one who needed care. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, it says, and Jesus went into Peter's house and saw, there's our word, his mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. And so he reached out and he touched her hand. The fever left her. She got up and began to serve them. And then it says, then the crowds came. And then when the evening came, many came and brought to him. Many were demon-possessed. And he drove out the spirits of the word and healed all who were sick. Jesus saw the one who needed healing. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 and 22, it says, another time the word saw is used. It says, and then just then a woman who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years approached from behind and touched the end of his robe. For she said to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be made well. And Jesus turned and saw her. Have courage, daughter, he said. Your faith has saved you. And the woman was made well from that moment. Jesus sees those ones who need healing. He cares about the one, and he meets their need, and he notices them. He cares for them, and he takes care of their need and responds to them. Same way we can. You guys have done that. Matter of fact, in the last few years, a couple of significant projects that you guys have been involved in a big way was one was in Spain. There's a doctor, his name is Eric Gutierrez. He is a Nicaraguan doctor, and he heard about a need in Spain, and he basically had the language under control, right? And so he heard about a need in Spain that North African refugees were crossing the Mediterranean to get to Europe. And you've probably seen some of that news about the influx is terrible. But they get to Spain, and they don't know the language. They don't have, they do not have any access to health care without being documented residents and citizens. So they don't get, there's no getting it. You can't go to an ER there unless you're a Spaniard and you have become a citizen or whatever the steps are to get to that point, that you're documented at least. And so there are all these needs there. So Hope Center is a place that is opening soon. He's using a little bitty office that is treating people who are almost all from a Muslim background but are in Europe now, completely displaced, and he's treating those people one at a time in the name of Jesus, even during the midst of this. And it's been a hard season for him. His father actually died in Nicaragua in May of COVID-19. And so he's been there in Spain taking care of these others when his own needs and his own family were hurting. But that's how you guys have cared for even one. Another place that we care for one at a time together with you guys is in Pakistan. You guys, a couple of years ago, helped us to be able to get the funding to start the construction that is nearly complete for a hospital in Pakistan. Matter of fact, one of the other ministries that is here is IDES, International Disaster Emergency Services, is here also. They helped to build the compound wall, fund that. And then you guys worked with us to help fund the building of this hospital that is near ready for us to organize and gather equipment and supplies to ship to Pakistan. That'll be interesting. We haven't shipped to Pakistan yet. We've been to Nepal and India and all within hundreds of miles, but not right there. But God always seems to open the doors for us to be able to see the provisions made. So God tells us in these words that Jesus saw the ones that needed healing. But then there's one more thing. Jesus saw how he was going to do it, as he saw a solution. Matter of fact, when we said earlier he saw some ready disciples, then in Matthew chapter 9, it tells us that when he got to a city, he says in verse 2 and verse 9, he said, just then some men brought a paralyzed man, a paralytic, on a stretcher. And then here's our word, seeing their faith. Jesus told the paralyzed man, have courage, son, your sins are forgiven. And then he heals them after an interchange with the Pharisees and the scribes. But what did we notice? Jesus saw the solution. He said the solution is the ready disciples who are willing to see the crowd and see the one who has the need. He saw their faith. Jesus said the solution is he can see you and I. He sees what we have. He sees who we are. He sees the gifts and skills and abilities and what you're capable of doing and what I'm capable of doing. Jesus saw the solution. As a matter of fact, in the end of that chapter, says that he was going, in verse 35 through 38, Jesus continued to go around all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching this good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. And then here's our word saw again. And he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and dejected. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Pray, therefore, for the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Jesus said the solution is everybody he saw. He said he saw the ready disciples. And that's you and I. And then he said he saw the crowds, and that's who we can help. But he said he wants us to see them one at a time and see their needs. Your missions team wants you to be able to do that. Who do you see? Who do we care about? Matter of fact, in the middle of crowds, it's always one. For you to be able to just think this through a little bit, I'd just like you to hear a story about a place that one is going to be able to be cared for if we can meet their needs like this, from Ghana.
Say averagely in a month, cardiac complications may be responsible for about 5 to 10% of our mortalities.
I as a doctor, it is so sad to break such a news. It's almost impossible for them.
How do you manage properly a patient with cardiac conditions?
I see patients that have heart disease almost every day who are not able to afford the appropriate medical care. Most of them are not even diagnosed.
I experience cardiac heart disease, so I understand what it's like to have such a condition and not have the resources to support treatment. This condition should not be a death sentence.
There's no single center that manages cardiac complications in the northern sector of Ghana.
And that is why CLT is partnering with the Winchi Hospital to set up a cardiac heart disease facility to support the northern half of the country.
It is a critical need, and so this opportunity to partner with Changing Lives Together would be a welcome opportunity for our clients.
This facility will literally save thousands of lives.
Sometimes we just need to see the one closest to us. Sometimes we need to see ones that are furthest away. But in all those situations, we can be the one that can help. We can be the one that can help carry the friend to Jesus. We can be the one that can help eliminate an obstacle to the good news. But maybe you just think, yeah, that's for other people. That sounds like something that others can do. You don't know my story. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know about the mistakes I've made or the bad choices or the terrible situation that I'm in. But I just want to tell you today that in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, it says there that Christ in you is the hope of glory. You know, I just want to give somebody something today. This is a brand new, crisp dollar bill. See, there's a good reason to sit down front. There you go. That's yours. All right. That brand new, crisp dollar bill, you can spend it anywhere you want, do anything you want with it. It's yours. No strings attached. And that's worth a dollar, in case you didn't know that. Okay. But I also have today another dollar bill. Now, this dollar bill isn't crisp. This dollar bill doesn't look brand new, isn't straight off the mint. It's been around a few times. But you know, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And it doesn't matter how many times you've been wrinkled, worn out, trampled, hurt, mistakes you've been made. Here you go. There's a dollar for you. And do you know what the dollar is worth? It's worth a dollar. It doesn't matter what's happened to that dollar. Its value didn't change. And it doesn't matter what's happened to you. Your value hasn't changed. God wants to use you no matter what's happened in your life, your choices or others that have hurt you. God says you can be a person who can make a difference to one. When I first got contacted about doing this, Logan Justice told me, he said, here's what we've said. He said, we can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. He wants you today to be challenged and encouraged to find one you can help. And that's the power of partnership that we can all have together. Let's pray. Dear God, we just thank you for all of the resources that you have given us and represented here today in this room, represented here with the Academy Church, but Lord, with all the partners that are in the parking lot today, Lord, that under that tent, there are people that are reaching one at a time around the world. Lord, we pray that you would just help us to see what you see. In Jesus' name, amen.